From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, South Korea kickstarts its World Cup campaign with a hard-fought scoreless draw against Uruguay. A general strike by unionized truckers enters its second day, adversely impacting the nation's cement and steel industries. And two officers of the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency, who had emergency monitoring duties on the night of the Itaewon crowd crush tragedy, are questioned. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Tom McCarthy. South Korea's 2022 Qatar World Cup campaign got underway on Thursday with an opening match against two-time winners Uruguay. The Taeguk Warriors held their own against a La Celeste side stacked with household names in the footballing world, fighting to a scoreless draw. Bae Ju-yeon recaps the match.
South Korea held the 2018 World Cup quarterfinals Uruguay to a scoreless draw in their Group H opener at the 2022 Qatar World Cup on Thursday. Placed 28th in the FIFA rankings, Team Korea entered the match at Education City Stadium in Al Rayyan as a clear underdog, having lost six times in his eight previous duels with the 14th-ranked South American side. Uruguay, which finished third in the South American Confederation qualifiers behind Brazil and Argentina, started world-class players such as Darwin Nunes, Federico Valverde, and Luis Suarez, who made way for Edinson Cavani but failed to find the back of the net, only managing to hit the post twice. Tottenham Hotspur forward Son Heung-min, still recovering from a facial fracture, boosted the Asian side's morale by playing throughout the match in a protective mask and came closest to scoring in the 90th minute, but his shot flew just wide of the net. Lee Kang-in, a 21-year-old playmaker signed to Spanish club Mallorca, also injected some energy as he came in as a substitute in the second half. The draw gives the Taeguk Warriors cause to cautiously hope they can clinch their first berth to the round of 16 in 12 years. South Korea moved past the group stage at the quadrennial event only twice, including the 2002 South Korea-Japan World Cup that saw the side finish fourth. It then went as far as the round of 16 at the 2010 South Africa World Cup, but in both instances, the team won its first group match. Led by Portuguese manager Paulo Bento, Team Korea will seek to further boost its chance to progress when it faces Ghana on Monday. Korea and the Western African country, currently ranked 61st, equally split their six previous duels. Team Korea will face 9th-ranked Portugal on Saturday of next week. The Korea-Ghana match will be held at the same venue at 10 p.m. Korea time on Monday. Bae Ju-yeon, KBS World Radio News.
Despite the cold weather on Thursday night, Seoul's Gwanghwamun Square was packed with football fans cheering for the national team during Team Korea's first group match against Uruguay at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. An estimated crowd of some 25,000 gathered for the event organized by the Red Devil, the official supporter group for the national football team, more than double the 10,000 predicted before the event. Around 10,000 had already gathered in front of a giant screen by 9 p.m., an hour before the match, prodding the police to make more space by moving back makeshift fences, which they did without issue. Ahead of the first large-scale public event following last month's fatal Itaewon crowd crush, the police dispatched over 500 officers to maintain order for better crowd management. Group cheering events took place at around 10 venues across the nation, including the World Cup Stadium in Suwon, Gyeonggi Province, and Incheon Football Stadium. A general strike by unionized truckers entering its second day on Friday has begun to adversely impact the nation's cement and steel industries. The Yoon Suk-yeol administration is mulling strong countermeasures, including a government order to end the walkout. Kim So-yeon reports.
The Cargo Trucker Solidarity Union under the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions has continued its general strike at 16 locations nationwide for the second day on Friday, demanding improved labor rights. The Transport Ministry said that as of 5 p.m. Thursday, the freight volume entering and exiting the 12 ports in the country dropped to around 40% of the daily average. The walkout has begun to take a toll on shipments in the cement and steel industries as well. The Korea Cement Association estimated losses in sales of about 19 billion won on Thursday alone, with less than 10,000 of the usual 200,000 tons of cement carried off. Hyundai Steel, the steelmaking affiliate of Hyundai Motor, was also unable to ship 50,000 tons of steel products on Thursday. The Korea International Trade Association said that 19 consigners have reported problems regarding suspended production due to issues with deliveries of raw and subsidiary materials. A group representing small to medium-sized enterprises issued a statement urging the unionized truckers to resume their routes as the strike has exacerbated their financial difficulties amid soaring inflation, the weak local currency, and high interest rates. The government, meanwhile, has set up an emergency response team to check up on damages incurred at major industries while considering various response measures. In a post on his official Facebook page, President Yoon Suk-yeol warned that the government may consider issuing an order to return to work if disruption to the nation's logistics continues. Rejecting the order would entail criminal prosecution or a cancellation of truckers' licenses. Kim So-yeon, KBS World Radio News.
Non-regular school workers launched its largest general strike since the outbreak of COVID-19 on Friday. The labor union of non-regular workers at schools is staging a one-day strike across the nation, demanding an end to pay disparity between non-regular and regular employees, as well as comprehensive measures for school cafeteria employees exposed to risks of lung cancer. Meanwhile, Seoul Metro's unionized workers declared that they will launch a general strike next Wednesday if the company and the city do not comply with their demands related to layoffs and safety personnel. At a press briefing hosted by the union on Friday, union leader Myung Soon-pil said Seoul Metro had dispatched over 200 employees as temporary on-site safety workers in the wake of the fatal E21 crowd crush instead of hiring new full-time employees. A special police team investigating the E21 crowd crush has summoned two officers of the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency who had emergency monitoring duties on the night of the tragedy. Ryu Mi-jin, in charge of the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency's emergency call monitoring at the time, arrived on Friday morning for her second round of questioning, while another officer, surnamed Jung, was grilled for the first time. Both face accusations that they failed to grasp the severity of the situation in Itaewon in a timely fashion and quickly report the matter to senior officials while on duty as the crush happened. As interviews of related figures continue, the probe team is also trying to identify the cause of the crowd crush by analyzing road conditions and crowd levels on the day of the incident based on 3D simulation data provided by the National Forensic Service. President Yoon Suk-yeol appointed Oh Suk-jun as a new Supreme Court Justice on Friday. The National Assembly approved Oh's confirmation hearing report on Thursday, a record 119 days after his nomination was recommended by Chief Justice Kim Myung-soo. Starting next month, late-night surcharges for taxi fares in Seoul will begin 2 hours earlier at 10 p.m. The city of Seoul announced on Friday all administrative procedures related to the new rates will enter into effect from December 1st, allowing mid-size cabs to impose the surcharge between the hours of 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., expanding from the current midnight to 4 a.m. The new measures also double the maximum surcharge rate to 40% for mid-size cabs between the hours of 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. when demand is high, while large and deluxe cabs will be able to apply a surcharge for the first time at 20%. In February, the base fare for mid-size cabs will increase from 3,800 won to 4,800 won, while the default distance covered by that price will decrease from 2 kilometers to 1.6 kilometers. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index fell 3.47 points, or 0.14% on Friday, closing the day at 2,437.86. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Tom McCarthy.